Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. F up the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, F up the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin tail pro. Show, they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we rise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit's gonna be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fuck me promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, F up the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, F up the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black women and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack upped up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prisons. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Black power, black power, black power, brothers and sisters. You're listening to the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense nightly broadcast. We are coming to you live here in the belly of the beast in the mirror KKK. Brothers and sisters, tonight's broadcast, as usual, will not only be informative, but it will also most definitely be thought-provoking. Tonight, we are going to resume the Wednesday night Your Emergency Project call, in which we are going to be hearing from Dr. Aline and his team at the Your Emergency Project. We're rebroadcasting their Tuesday night calls so that this information is very timely. This information has been presented within a 24-hour time period. But before we start this particular clip that will play throughout this evening, we feel it necessary with all of this information that's been going out that we want to make it known, make it clear for the record that everything that this broadcast of the New Black Panther Party has been bringing to you has not only been factual, it's been documented by doctors from the UR Military Project, which are the top black doctors in the country and around the globe. We've even brought some Caucasian, Asian, every doctor you name from all around the country, Spanish, you name it, every ethnic and racial group that has something to say, some relevant information regarding what is really taking place in, as it relates to this pandemic of the COVID attack that was launched on the globe in 2020. Brothers and sisters, there's been so much disinformation, so much misinformation. And what we are going to do is, and what we have continued to do, was do the research and bring you the facts, not just being talking heads and repeating what mainstream media has been lying to the masses of the people about. We dug in deep. Not only did we dug in deep, we made a commitment to bring information on a daily basis. When the virus first came out, we switched our platform from being nightly, once a week on Monday night, to being nightly. And we have been consistent every night, bringing you content and information. We have in the time that we've been on, not only have we made it a point to bring you information as it relates to the COVID on a weekly basis, but we have also expanded our broadcast to present political education throughout the week. We have special guest hosts that have come on. We have guest hosts ranging from our national spokesman, Brother Malik Mau-Mau, who comes on every Monday night, to our brother Eugene Talford with the New African Network, who brings us a business report, who brings us information as it relates to what's going on in Africa and throughout the diaspora, not only politically, but in particularly with a focus on business. So not only are we covering medical issues that are relevant, we're covering political issues that are relevant, as well as business that is relevant. And of course, being the New Black Panther Party, any cases that relate to the fight for justice, we most assuredly are bringing to the table. So this broadcast is a well-thought-out broadcast. We make sure that any presenters or speakers that we bring before you are not only the best of the best from the Black Mighty Nation, from some of our great ancestors, to some of the most current and most active and most brilliant brothers and sisters on the scene today. With that being said, we covered topics ranging from reparations, which is very much at the forefront, to overall political education as it relates to our culture, our history, and the time now and what must be done. We even have our platform open for the people. Well, if you want to comment, all you got to do is press 1. The New Black Panther Party, under this formation, under myself, Sister Crystal Muhammad, and our National Central Committee, is very dedicated to making sure that this information is brought to you. But not only are we dedicated, we put our money where our mouth is. This broadcast is not broadcasted out of the kindness of Blog Talk Radio's heart. We literally have to pay these people to make sure, on a monthly basis, to make sure that we have these airways open, that we are free and uncompromising in our position and in the information that we bring and in the speakers that we bring and in the topics that we raise. There is no other program like this that exists on television or on Blog Talk Radio. Anywhere. And we have thousands of people who listen, not only here in the United States. I mean, we have brothers and sisters like Brother Emmanuel who comes on out of Houston. He brings you information not only from what the word is going on in the street, but from a spiritual basis. I make a commitment that I'm here nightly to make sure that the show goes on. Sometimes we're on the road and in the field and doing maneuvers, at work, doing our businesses, with our families. But we make a commitment that we get this information out. And we need the commitment from you, the listeners, to continue to support the New Black Panther Party broadcast and our organization as a whole, period. And you can do that by going to our website, nbpp.org. That's N as in New, B as in Black, P as in Panther, P as in Party.com. And you go to that website and you not only can get information about what we stand for, see just a little piece of some of the work we've done in the past and some of the images, and it's only just a little drop in the ocean compared to the years of dedication and work we've done for Black liberation for our people across this country and, in fact, across this globe, as we have indeed made ground on the mother continent of Africa and have chapters there. So the people are our support base, not corporate America. No puppet tears running strings up our back. We bring you the truth, pure, unadulterated. Some of our stances may be quote unquote controversial to some, but we're not going to compromise. You're not going to have us on here promoting homosexuality. You're not going to have us on here promoting integration. We very much believe in independence and separation as a Black nation, as a Black people. And this latest act of war, a crime against humanity that has been leashed on the people, on our people, and on the whole globe, is a biological, chemical warfare in disguise as a COVID pandemic. And every anchor of government, military, business sector launched this war against the masses of the people. But this war has been going on. So tonight, we want to set some precedent. I want to play two clips that we played before in the past, where Dr. Ali Muhammad explained how the vaccine weaponry started decades ago with the polio vaccine. That's going to be a quick clip. Then after that, I'm going to play another clip where Dr. Aleem explained what this coronavirus was in the beginning. And he was right in his bed. And everything he said has come to pass and proven to be actual facts, just like what we have brought to you. A report came out, I saw yesterday, about the billions and millions of dollars that the NIH, the so-called National Institute of Health, that is ran by Anthony Fauci, and how much money they made off of this lie. Think about how many off of this lie of the COVID pandemic. Not only was this a biological weapon that was released, they were literally and are literally have been killing people in the hospital, putting poison concoctions, lethal injections into people's bodies. This is warfare going on. While this is going on, the economy has changed. Go look at what you used to buy in the store, and you're going to pay more and get less. Gas prices are damn near doubled. Police killings have not stopped. Racial injustice has not ended. In fact, these devils have got even more emboldened because they believe they can't be stopped. Silly Negroes running around here believing in Biden and Kamala. Crazy crackers running around here believing in Trump and all that shit. Well, the only thing we need to be believing in is the Creator, the Most High, and our own black selves, and do it for our own selves. So I'm going to play these clips just to start off, to remind you, back to the basics, and then we'll hear from Dr. Ali Muhammad and his team with the UM Energy Project giving us updates from the Zoom call on yesterday. But go to our website, mbpp.org. Click the donate button. Support this organization. Don't just, you know, constantly take, get information, and don't help those who bring it to you. Surely everyone can make a contribution. $5, $10, $50, $500. No donation is too small. No donation is too big. When you click that donate button, you'll see some of the work that we've done in regards to disaster response. Again, the work we do at the Black Cross is not funded by the government. We don't get grants. The members of this organization, we pull our resources together to get out and do for self, do for our people. You can also use this same site to contact us if you want to join. We're looking for intelligent, strong, and righteous brothers and sisters. We don't need no good-talking, corrupt, unethical individuals around us. We don't need no huffing and puffing, I'm all tough, but I don't have no brains in my head. We don't need no, I'm so spiritual that you're a coward and won't get out in the field. We need well-rounded brothers and sisters who are both mentally, spiritually, and politically conscious, who are courageous, who are humble, who are disciplined, who are respectful, which so happens to be the five duties of a Panther, to be amongst these ranks, to push the 10-point platform and 9 local objectives. And yes, we are revolutionaries, but not just any old revolutionary. We're black nationalists, for us, by us, Pan-Africanists, as this whole planet belongs to us, and revolutionaries. We just not trying to fix this bullshit that's going on right now. It must be completely overturned, and it is completely righteous, as everything that stands in this nation and this so-called wannabe system of global white supremacy was built on the theft of our land and the bloodshed of our ancestors and the continual oppression of our people as it stands today. This program started. Right now I'm going to play, as I said, some clips from Dr. Aline, a little blast from the past, bring it right on back to the current. Black Power.
Now, we want to cover the subject of the relationship between vaccines and human reproduction, since that was one of Yaqub's objectives on the island of Patmos in the making of the Caucasian people and the brown and yellow races. And since it's the aim of the synagogue of Satan, following his pattern to control human reproduction, we want to address that. But before doing that, we want to set the stage with this short clip from a discussion that I had with Dr. Abdul Aleem Muhammad in 2009. Please watch this.
Right, and it's no wonder that we have the who now also. I mean, all the hands seem to be the same hand.
Yeah. And see, that issue of vaccine contamination is the number one reason that in 1997, I issued, as the Minister of Health and Human Services for the Nation of Islam, a moratorium on vaccines. It wasn't that I had a problem with the validity of the theory of vaccination. I think I have more concern about that now than I did at that time. But it was really the simple issue of contamination.
Right.
That even if vaccines are good, in theory, they certainly are not good if they're contaminated.
Right, right.
And all vaccines that I know about that are administered in the United States of America are contaminated. And, of course, the original contaminating virus that appeared in the polio vaccine going back to the late 50s and into the 60s and to 2009, the polio vaccine administered in 2009 is still contaminated with the SV40 virus, simian virus number 40, properly known as the polyoma virus. And poly means many, oma means tumors or cancer. So the polyoma virus was actually the first virus that was discovered that could actually cause cancer.
Right, and that's and this is why, I mean, some people attribute the rise in cancer to that virus.
Absolutely. You see, that's why in the 1950s, a woman's chances of getting breast cancer may have been less than 1 in 10. And a man's chance of getting prostate cancer was even less than that. But now, and then by the time I was in medical school, you see, in 1975, the risk of breast cancer was 1 in 6 or 1 in 7. And now it's 1 in 3.
Wow.
And every time that tumor that appears in the breast in a woman or in the prostate in a man has been studied for the presence of SV40, there that cancer virus is.
Right.
It doesn't cause cancer right away. It causes cancer 30, 40, and 50 years after the injection. So almost no one is able to connect the dots, you see. But and now, just as recently as 10 years ago or so, when my schoolmate, Dr. David Satcher, he was in D.C., so I invited him to come by the clinic because I wanted to talk to him about vaccines.
Now he was the head of the CDC.
At that time, he was the head of the CDC, later became the Surgeon General.
Yes, sir.
So at that time, he was the head of the CDC, and he was mounting a strong campaign to see that all Americans received all of their vaccines. And so I asked him about SV40, and he was the one that informed me of what I didn't know. I didn't know that it was still in the vaccines.
Oh.
I thought that when they had discovered it in the 60s that they took steps to remove it. He said, no, it's still there.
Man.
It's still there. And then he poo-pooed the risk, saying that it wasn't worth doing anything about. And then I asked him about, well, what about the epidemic in cancer that we're experiencing in this country? And, you know, I don't quite remember what his, but he didn't see that there was a connection. But I think there is.
You know, a lot of people have written about that. They didn't see cancer until vaccines became, you know, widespread. But getting back to the 1997 moratorium, because I remember that I was, you know, with you working here and there in the clinic during your campaign against vaccination. That moratorium has not been lifted.
No, it hasn't. Now, okay. just to put to give the historical context,
please.
I issued a moratorium, and my understanding is a moratorium is sort of like a temporary measure.
Right.
And the idea was we would have a moratorium on vaccines until such time as we could convene a conference of experts. So I contacted the National Medical Association, the CDC, the AMA, and other official medical bodies around the country, and we were going to convene a vaccine conference in Chicago in that summer.
Right, right.
And then for one reason or another, that conference actually never materialized. And so we never had that convening. Because at that time, I was aware of the contamination issue, but I didn't know how far it went. And I was sort of sitting on the fence. You see, I didn't want to be rash or premature in my judgment.
Right. Right.
But that conference never took place to fully air the issue so that we could then develop a definitive policy.
Right.
But now, I guess the moratorium has become policy. And I would say that everything that I've learned since then convinces me even more the rightness of that moratorium against vaccines.
Yes, sir. Well, you were divinely guided, and I'm glad you said that, because even today, you know, among the believing community of the Nation of Islam, of course, we serve our people, which is a larger group, but just dealing with among us, you know, you still have some who are not really aware,
yes,
of the dangers of vaccines. And particularly now in this day and time with all of the genetic engineering, the secrecy, the money involved, and maybe other diabolical aims, it even makes that moratorium even more, you know, right,
yes,
for us to follow today.
Yeah, now at that time, just let me maybe just to complete the story, one of the people that I consulted was Dr. John Martin. And Dr. Martin had been in charge of vaccine safety for the FDA. I mean, he was the chief of vaccine safety. Here's a guy, he's a PhD, MD, you know, and what he found out as the head of vaccine safety is he didn't have any teeth.
Oh, okay.
He didn't have any administrative force and power. He could not even compel the pharmaceutical companies who were making these vaccines to tell him what was in the vaccine.
Ain't that so?
They had it written such that that kind of information was considered proprietary information, that the pharmaceutical companies only had to divulge voluntarily, if at all.
Right.
And so every year he would send out these long report forms, and they would come back almost blank because they didn't have to fill in anything.
And that still is in effect today.
Yeah. So basically he was in a position of having to take their word that there was no contamination in the vaccines. Then he told me the reason why he quit. He said because even with all of that lax regulation, occasionally they would discover a batch of vaccines that were contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, now what do you think we would do with it? I said, I would hope that you would destroy it. He said, oh no. He said, there's too much money involved.
Mm-hmm.
So all we could do was return that batch to the pharmaceutical company. They would change the labels and send it overseas because there was no law against sending contaminated vaccines overseas, usually to poor countries in Africa and other parts of the world.
Wow. I mean, this sheds, even a great light. The fact that you talked to the guy who was supposed to be in charge of safety, you know, but how can you do your duty if nobody's even telling you what's in it?
Now, he has a website. I don't know if it's still, I haven't visited in a long time, but if anybody cares to check it out, it's called stealthviruses.com.
Stealthviruses.com.
Because he started a whole line of research. And I asked him, what do you mean stealth viruses? Well, he said, well, how do you detect viruses? You know, they're stealthy. And if you don't already know that it exists, how would you detect it? So if somebody comes up with a novel virus or one just develops in nature, how would you even know? So he had a website that was developed for the purpose.
Infertility is considered a crisis in the United States and Europe in particular. Both men and women suffer from the inability to produce children.
Hold up, brothers and sisters. Hold on. Let's see here. This is a clip.
Okay. Coronavirus. Everybody's talking about coronavirus. Well, viruses come in families. So there's a herpes family, there's a coronavirus family, there's an influenza family of viruses. And so coronaviruses are generally considered to be animal viruses. When you look a little deeper, you find coronaviruses inhabit parasites that are in the bodies of animals. So therefore, in livestock industries, they have a big coronavirus problem because you can get things like feedlot fever among cattle, sheep, but especially pigs and other domestic animals that are not necessarily so clean. So that's a big problem. Coronaviruses infect animals. Sometimes you may get a human infection with coronavirus. That's somewhat rare. Some of the common colds that people have had are due to coronaviruses. Generally speaking, they have not proven to be extremely fatal. However, what we're dealing with now, the novel coronavirus, COVID-20, this is not a natural coronavirus. This is a genetically engineered, weaponized version of coronavirus that has been married to 4 genes from HIV and probably other genes from perhaps other viral pathogens. The short history is Dr. Lieber of Harvard University, the chief biomolecular scientist at Harvard University, dug up some frozen bodies from the tundra in Alaska. This was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, to investigate what killed them during the Spanish flu epidemic. He isolated that virus from 100 years ago and resurrected it, you could say, but found out that because of the frozen conditions over time, the virus had lost its infectivity. You may question, why would somebody dig up a virus that killed over 100 million people and brought an end to World War I? Well, you would have to ask Dr. Lieber that, but he did that. And then when the infectivity was not what he wanted, then he paired it with 4 genes from HIV and perhaps some other things. And now you have a highly contagious coronavirus that is infecting human beings. And not only from animal to human transmission, but now verified cases, human to human transmission through the air. So you could say that this coronavirus 2020 is the descendant of the MERS virus, the Middle Eastern respiratory virus that killed many people in the Middle East, and the SARS virus that I think that goes back to 2003-2004 that killed many, many people. Now, the SARS virus was the first indication to the Chinese people that someone was out to get them. The SARS virus was genetically engineered to infect Asian people, preferably. And the Chinese realized this. And so since that time, they have actually been on the defensive. Now the question is whether this latest virus is also a bioweapon engineered to destroy people of Asian descent. And it seems to have another feature. It seems to preferentially infect men as opposed to women. Seems to be much more lethal in men than women. And even though it's considered to be a respiratory virus that causes a respiratory illness, the other interesting factor is that it seems to have a predilection for male testicles. And even in those that recover, the question is, will they be sterilized as after this COVID infection, even if they survive? Bill Gates, along with Dr. Lieber and Johns Hopkins University in October of 2019, conducted a simulation, computer simulation, of a coronavirus outbreak, and they determined through computer simulations that such an outbreak would lead to the death of 65 million people. Now, the current experience in China with a 2.3% mortality rate shows that globally we could expect at least 165 million deaths from this virus. So what is it all for? I think it's for the purpose of slowing down the growth of China as a dominant economic, political, and economic power in the world. That is, of course, if it really is a bioweapon. If it's not really a bioweapon, it certainly has taken the U.S.-China trade war to another level. Trade war has become biological warfare, and people are being targeted with their lives. Part of the trade war, of course, was the controversy with a company called Huawei, the leaders in 5G technology. The center of 5G technology is China, and the center of 5G technology in China is Wuhan City, or Hubei in Hubei province. And when they turned on or switched on the most potent 5G network in the world in Wuhan City, that's when the epidemic broke out. So there are scientists who think that there is an electronic component to what would otherwise just be a biological phenomenon. A virus is on the borderline of living things versus non-living things. It is protein wrapped around genetic material, either RNA or DNA. It is susceptible to electronic frequencies. Viruses can be activated by 5G 60 cycle frequency radiation that was turned on in Wuhan City that just coincidentally happened at the same time as a viral outbreak. Could there be a connection? One final point that I think the world should consider. From my point of view as a medical doctor, someone who knows a little bit about public health, I don't think that the Chinese government could be faulted in any way for their response to whatever happened, whether it was a natural phenomenon or whether it turns out to really be a bio attack. But their response to it was heroic and correct. They built 3 1,000-bed hospitals in a little more than a week. That is phenomenal. They provided hospital care for thousands of people who otherwise would have been left out in the cold to die. And so this is something to ponder. Is the United States capable of the same response, public health-wise? Is Europe capable of the same response? Is Africa, is India, are the other nations, are Brazil and other nations in South America and throughout the world? Is Japan, Korea, are they capable of the same heroic, monumental public health measures undertaken by the Chinese, who seem, I mean, optimistically I'm speaking now, they seem to have contained the spread of the virus in China through these drastic means. But suppose you had the same level of infection in New York City or Los Angeles or Chicago or some other major city in Europe, as we now see in Italy and Spain and Germany, cases breaking out. Well, this is the tip of the iceberg. 80-some cases now in Long Island, New York, in Los Angeles, in Texas, and other places. People under quarantine. We don't know how many people are really infected because the CDC has only given a little more than 400.
We're instructed to open everything that we do with prayer. So if we can take a position of prayer, I'll say the prayer aloud. And I ask you to repeat the prayer silently to yourself. Attention prayer. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the accursed Satan. Bismillah Rahman Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All this is due to Allah, the Lord of all of the world. Ar-Rahman Rahim. The Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Maliki Yawmiddin. Master of this day of judgment in which we now live. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Thee do we serve, and thee do we seek for help. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Guide us on the right path. Sirata ladina an'amta allahim. The path of those upon whom thou hast bestowed favor. Ghayrul maghdubi allahim. Wala toli. Not the path of those upon whom thine wrath is brought down, nor those who go astray.
Amen. Assalamu alaikum. Greetings. Welcome to the Your Immunity Project. This is the Zoom conference call, also on the Kalfani Radio platform. So welcome, welcome, welcome. You are in the right place. This happens every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is where the updates happen for COVID-19, the mandates, the vaccines, and all the rest of it. You're in the right place. You did not make a mistake. Some call this the hour of truth because we go not just to dissect the lies, but we establish the positive truth. So welcome, 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 one and all. This is the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. So while we're getting things underway, why don't you use this finger, the share finger, and share this information with somebody that you care about. Show that you care by sharing. This is the Your Immunity Project, where you get information that actually you can't get it any other place. This is where you have to come to get it. And you can get it once a week here on the Zoom conference call, or you can hook up with Kalfani Radio, that independent, free voice platform that is sweeping the world. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. And we know we always have new ones. We have people who haven't been here before. You don't know what this is all about. So we operate according to five basic principles. The first principle is prevention. Prevention. Benjamin Franklin said it this way: prevention is worth a pound of cure. And it doesn't matter what you're trying to prevent. It's better to prevent it than to let it happen. And so to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And so this is where you get armed with knowledge about what to do and what to prevent and what to guard yourself against. The second principle is diagnosis. And diagnosis is an area of trouble. We've gone over this many times on the Your Immunity Project, showing that the PCR test is bogus. The rapid antigen test is bogus. All of the nasal swab tests are bogus and even dangerous and should be avoided. And so the problem that we're faced with is, for the most part, no accurate diagnosis has been made in the last 2.5 years of this plandemic, as some would call it. The PCR test was calibrated to the common cold virus. The rapid antigen test was calibrated to a common bacterium. And so the fraud goes on. What's the third principle? The third principle is treatment. Because people are sick, what are they sick from? That's where the diagnosis comes in, because your treatment, it can't be any better than your ability to make a diagnosis. And so, but if it's a viral illness with viral symptoms, then the best thing to use to treat it is Paxlovid. Paxlovid, the bovine proteins that feed the human immune system. It works on livestock too. It works on every vertebrate species, because viral illnesses are universal, not just humans, but animals, plants. They all get plagued with viruses from time to time. And so this is nature's answer to viral infections of all sorts. And what are they talking about? They're talking about an upsurge of COVID-19, whatever that means. They're talking about smallpox. They're talking about cases of monkeypox, believe it or not. That was diagnosed over in England, I believe. All kinds of outbreaks of hemorrhagic fever virus in China, Ebola virus, Marburg virus, all kinds of viruses being talked about. Bill Gates is boasting that we can dial up the mRNA and create anything we want. And these kind of people, what do you think they want? Something that you need Paxlovid to handle. So that's the best treatment for viral illnesses, but we're not offering other advice in terms of medical conditions on this broadcast. And then what is the fourth principle? The fourth principle is research. We have a research project in force right now. You probably will hear about it later in the broadcast. And then the fifth principle is education. And that's actually the basis of the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. We are educating ourselves. We're doing the research because we know we can't trust the research that's being done by NIH and FDA and all the rest of them. We know Pfizer, all their research is fraudulent. They're the most heavily fined criminal corporation in the history of the world for doing fraudulent research, bribing doctors. So how could you trust any research coming from those quarters under those circumstances, knowing what you know? And so we have to do what we have to do on our own the best that we can. So we'll hear from our research team, I think, later today. If not, you can always find out more about it at yourimmunityproject.org. That's the branch that goes to the research. Now, the education is what we're doing right now. And so we're going to go through some headlines, and perhaps we'll have some reports from around the world. And before the evening is through, you will be completely up to date with what's taking place with COVID-19. So welcome once again to the Your Immunity Project. You might be with us on the Zoom link. You might be on Calfani Radio. You might be live on Facebook. I don't know, but welcome, welcome, welcome. And please share. So Sister Najma, do we have the research team on the line tonight?
Yes, Dr. Nadia is on and Brother Ruben.
Okay, well, then we're going to hear from our research team first, and then you said Brother Ruben, who's calling in from Australia, and we'll take other calls from overseas, if there are any, because we love to receive information from abroad, because what we see in the horizon in Australia, for example, it'll be on our doorstep tomorrow. So let's hear from our research team first, and then we'll hear from abroad.
Okay, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, how are you?
I'm doing well, how are you?
I'm great, thanks to Allah. You went mute.
Good, so Dr. Aline had mentioned earlier, if you're interested in learning more about, you can't hear me?
Yes, now, yes, you went blank for about 30 seconds.
Okay, so what I was saying was that in terms of the research, we don't have any updates this evening. As you have mentioned, if individuals are interested in learning more about the program, they could defer to yourimmunityproject.org and learn more about the research. We're in the process of reassessing some of the data that we've been looking at, and we're working with the statistician in terms of providing her with an update on the data extraction. She may be working on other projects, but we're going to reconvene with her. And we're going to be hopefully in the near future, within another 2 or 3 weeks, we'll have an update on where we are, Dr. Darlene, with the data extraction and how that data is going to be utilized and analyzed by the biostatistician. So just
okay.
Bear with us. We have a few more quirks that we have to work out, but we're working through that.
Yes, that's understood. And people should know that research is tedious work. That's why I was never really good at it as a primary researcher, because it's so tedious. You have to dot every I and cross every T and all of that. It's all meticulous work. And so we'll just have to be patient. It takes as long as it takes to get it done. And of course, we did a little flash research. Some of you may be scratching your head. What research project are you talking about? Well, what she's talking about is the phase 1 trial that we started last year and wound up last year, and we're waiting for the report out. But we did a little flash project, I guess 2 weeks ago, where we were investigating to see whether or not there was any validity to this circulating theory that maybe what is making people sick is related to snake venom. And I want to thank, I think there were 12 individuals or 13 who just like that volunteered, sent in photographs. We were able to scan them and get some preliminary results. And unfortunately, yes, it appears that there is a correlation between the illness that people are feeling, the symptoms, I should say, that people are feeling, and the presence of toxins that are either identical to or very similar to snake venom, as found in rattlesnakes, cobras, and what's the other snake we're testing? It's called a bushmaster snake. And so these are venomous snakes, And that contains, the venom contains a variety of different peptides. And so the allegation is that some of these toxic peptides have been patented and made into synthetic versions that are a part of the injection. And that the constellation of symptoms that people complain about, either from the so-called COVID-19 infection itself, or after injection, or after contact with people who have been injected, that constellation of symptoms is awful similar to the constellation of symptoms that you would expect from snake venom, just dragged out over a longer period of time, but producing exactly the same multiple organ failure and death. So I want to thank those of you who volunteered for that flash program. We're putting the final touches on the protocol that we're able to derive from that research, and it seems to be helping people. Now, those of you who did participate, if you have been able to start that protocol, I'm talking to you now, make sure that you send your follow-up photographs as soon as you can, because that will be the clincher to let us know whether there is an interval difference between your original submitted photographs that we scanned and the ones that we are asking as a follow-up. So thank you very much for your participation. That's the kind of community we are at the Your Immunity Project. We have people who understand. You have a responsibility to do something. You know, this affects you. You know, COVID-19 is not happening over there to somebody else. It's happening to us right here. So I want to thank our research team for the tremendous effort that they have sustained over such a long time. And continue to do so. And so let's support them. Go to yourimmunityproject.org. And thanks again to those who participated in the flash research that we did just a couple of weeks ago. So I believe Brother Ruben should be on the line.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Aleem and family.
How okay, you? There he is. Go ahead, sir.
All right. All praise is due to Allah. Greetings to everyone. And unfortunately, this week, I don't have much good news to report. The things are getting very drastic here in Australia as far as the consequences of this vaccination program. People, of course, are getting sicker and sicker. And at the same time, you know, they've kind of stopped reporting the deaths and all of those things going on in the hospitals. But if you do visit any hospital or you talk to medical workers, they're telling you they're just having a very rough time right now. In fact, they're trying to heap praise on all of those who stayed in the job, took the jab, and have, you know, gone through what they've gone through for the last 2 years with all kinds of awards and accolades. However, that's not working very well for everyone in the country. As far as the consequences of, there's a very small population here who has not been vaccinated, about 4%. Otherwise, for the country, they're still on about 96-97% vaccination for those over 12. However, there's still not, have the shortages with workers, truck drivers, et cetera. They have passed a minimum living wage, they're calling it, to help those who work in the fruit picking and vegetables, et cetera, because no matter how many people they've brought in from overseas to work in that industry, that's not enough. So they now have basically what's called a $29 an hour. If you want to go pick fruits and you have all kinds of protections, you're provided accommodation, but still that's not enough. So when you go to the supermarket now to do your grocery shopping, you know, $300 would fill up a trolley. Now the same $300, you're looking at, you know, two-thirds or half a trolley of food. So we're talking food prices have gone up 30, 40, 50%. We're talking basics here, nothing fancy, just your everyday basics, fruits, vegetables, et cetera. Gasoline here has hit $2 a liter, so that's almost $9 a gallon because you're sort of not in the metric system. Again, similar shortages. Now, I did mention last week that this is an election month. We go to the state elections this month and federal in a few months. So what's being sold to us as a victory of sorts for the unvaccinated as of yesterday, Tuesday, because we're Wednesday here now in Australia, but as of yesterday morning, the legislators, the lawmakers in our state have finally decriminalized what they call sex work. So they're saying, hey, to all of you unvaccinated people, we have a job for you. You're not allowed to go back to your old profession or whatever you're doing unless you take the 3 jabs, and it's going to be 4 very soon. However, if you want to sell or become a part of the sex workers, be able to prostitute yourself out on the street, for that you don't need to be vaccinated. So there's a job you can do. And as horrible as that sounds, please get online, read the headlines for yourself, because every political party is selling that as a win for the state. So you're not going to get arrested or harassed by the police. Now, you got to be careful. Don't do it in front of schools or religious places before 7 p.m. Everywhere else, you can, do what you want. And naturally, the people who get involved with sex workers, they're not asking for vaccination certificates or vaccine passports anyway, but they're now saying, here's a job you can do, people, and that's how they're selling it on the front page of all the papers, so sex work for the unvaccinated has been decriminalized. However, if you do want to take it indoors into brothels and other places like that, you got to get the 3 jabs. So unfortunately, it's going from bad to worse here in Australia, and I'm sorry to report it like that, but these are the realities we face here in the land down under. So I'll be available for any questions, Dr. Lin, and thank you so much for the time and opportunity. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Ruben. We really appreciate you calling in at such an inconvenient hour. As he mentioned, it's already Wednesday where he is. So we really thank you for sharing the information of what's going on down under. $9 a gallon gasoline.
Yes, sir.
You see, that's what we're going to be seeing here. It's already $6 in California, but I'm told from sources that before this economic reset is over, people in the U.S. are going to be paying $18 a gallon at least, six times as much as you were paying maybe a year or so ago. So thank you, Brother Ruben. And it's interesting, there was a headline, I think we showed it actually maybe 6 weeks ago, that there was a survey done in New York City, and I forget the percentage exactly, but a very high percentage of people in New York said they would resort to sex work in order to pay the bills. So evidently, this is a universal kind of a degradation of society. So thank you, Brother Ruben. Sister Najma, do we have any other overseas callers on the line?
I don't see Brother Simon. If anyone is calling from overseas, please raise your hand and I'll acknowledge your call.
Okay. But if not right now, then we'll go to the headlines. And then the majority of the time at the end, I wanted to reserve for questions and answers because there's an awful lot of information that's flooding the networks officially and unofficially. And we can't cover everything. And sometimes you kind of lose your focus. You don't know what to focus on and so much that is going on. So we're going to take a look at some of the headlines. We're not going to go very deep into any of them, but just to update you on some of the things perhaps that you may have missed or that we'll give a different slant on it. Now, of course, this is Yankowitz. This is Nina, was it Moore Gore? Morgan Yankovic, who is the Disinformation Governance Board chair. And people are protesting. They don't think that she's qualified to be over disinformation. But I think if you look at her resume, you'd see that she's very well qualified to preside over disinformation. And that's the name of the board, isn't it? It's called the Disinformation Governance Board. So who better to govern by disinformation than someone who is an expert at spewing disinformation? Just in case you run afoul of the disinformation, this is the power behind the throne. Next image. Now, this is a tweet from the new owner of Twitter, Elon Musk. To be clear, I do support vaccines in general and COVID vaccines specifically, period. The science is unequivocal. In very rare cases, there is an allergic reaction, but this is easily addressed with an EpiPen. Okay, so much for Dr. Elon Musk and his misinformation. We're going to report him to Ms. Yankovic for putting out misinformation. Now, interesting is, although he says he does support vaccines in general and COVID vaccines specifically, for some reason, he declined to have himself and his own family and his children to be vaccinated, even though he strongly believes in it for you. And, of course, this may have something to do with his Neuralink satellites that would form a global network for which you could be a part. I think they call it the metaverse. Next image, please. Isn't the Twitter a part of the metaverse? I think so. A major hub of the metaverse. Now, for those of you trying to access the antiviral protocol, this is how you do it. Go to dralim.com. It's also where you go to get the Paxlovid. Buy the single bottle, or better yet, get it by the case or the quad. A quad is four cases. That would be 48 bottles. So you get a really steep discount if you buy it in bulk. So dralim.com is where that happens. And also, the antiviral protocol is where you would find that. Now, the homeopathics that go with that are the anti-snake component, you have to research those out yourself and buy those online. They're easily available, sometimes even in a health food store. Some of them are available at your Whole Foods, for example. Not hard to find at all. And so we'll be publishing that list of the homeopathics, so you'll know what to look for. But you get the antiviral protocol at dralim.com. I hope that's clear. Next image. And then you can join the Patient Direct program, which allows you to process your own orders very quickly. So this is the Paxlovid, the 2-ounce bottle, the bovine proteins, FDA approved. It's helpful against any viral infection or any illness that is related to viruses. I got a report from someone last week, a lady been suffering from asthma her whole life. She started taking the Paxlovid because of the COVID, now her asthma went away. Go figure. But many illnesses, many symptoms that people suffer from are actually due to viral illnesses, even some cancers. So make sure you got plenty of your Paxlovid there. I talked to the supplier, and I would say, reading between the lines of what was said and not said, I think now is a good time to stock up. There may not be another production cycle. Next image. Now, these are just some of the headlines. We're not going to go very deep into them, but the new controlled food system is now in place, and they will stop at nothing to accelerate their control. And so this is talking about the supply chain, which is called a disruption because it's being shifted. So that what you will be able to buy and what is available to be bought will be severely restricted. Also, we're finding diesel fuel is in short supply. And of course, diesel is what runs trucks and tractors and industry in a large part. And so many of the things that make the wheels of commerce turn are grinding to a halt. Electricity shortage warnings grow across the United States. You see blackouts occurring every day in North Carolina just recently, and Georgia and Florida, Texas, rolling brownouts and blackouts, not all weather related, some of them probably due to sabotage. Next image, please. So now the insurance companies are being bailed out. They're in trouble because of the accelerating death rate. See, that's in the background of everything that we're talking about. What's behind the worker shortage that Brother Rubin talked about in Australia? Could it possibly be that the workers no longer are alive? Is that what is behind the trucker shortage in America? They're no longer with us. Staffing shortages at hospitals. What accounts for that? Are they really all at home watching Netflix? So those insurance companies are feeling the brunt of it because they're being asked to pay death benefits. They're even advertising death and funeral insurance on television. Don't leave your relatives with unpaid bills when you die. I mean, they're literally predicting your death. U.S. government data suggests fully vaxxed Americans are developing AIDS. Well, we reported on this 3 months ago, that what happens after you get the injection, the spike protein starts to demolish the immune system 5% per week. Yes, that's right, 5% per week. So you degrade a normal human immune system 5% per week. Well, that's 20% per month. Okay, by the time you get down to 20% of your immune system left, that fits the clinical definition of AIDS. And they've even coined a phrase, they call it vaccine-associated or vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And it's exactly like what we had 30 years ago with HIV, and it has the same outcomes. Now, Bill Gates says the code in the mRNA vaccines, and we know it's not really a vaccine, he's a liar, can be updated without regulators noticing. Let's read that again. And I really should have printed the whole article. Bill Gates says that the code in the mRNA vaccines can be updated without regulators noticing. Now, this works like your cell phone. You know, you get a notice that during the middle of the night, they're going to update your phone. And you wake up the next morning and your screen looks different and things work a little different. Because they updated it during the night while you were asleep. Well, now Bill Gates is saying that the code in the mRNA shots works the same way. Whatever it's doing to you right now, and maybe it's nothing, they can upgrade it in the middle of the night without the regulators noticing that they changed the function of the vaccine in your body. So this should be disturbing news to people who have been injected. In other words, Bill Gates can determine your future unless you determine his. Next image. The FDA says Americans should treat COVID-19 just like the flu. See, now they tell you that's all it ever was, the flu or the common cold. How many murdered from the bioweapon vax now? See, it's like a cynical laugh in your face. Now, this is from Australia, a newsreader. I don't know if Brother Ruben knows this person. Anti-vaxxer Tracy Spicer, let's get jabbed, is crushed by pericarditis and long COVID, can no longer stand up, refuses to blame the bioweapon injection. Now, that's a common finding. People who are damaged by this shot, they refuse to blame it on the shot. They'll blame it on anything else except that. That's probably part of the program that goes with the shot. And now the mandatory use of masks on planes and trains and buses is returning. See, it's just arbitrary yo-yo of public opinion, getting you to go to and fro like a herd of cattle. Next image, please. Now, wouldn't you know it, the health authorities track the movements of Canadians via cell phones during the pandemic. See, now we reported on this maybe at the very beginning. Remember when social distancing was the big thing? You see, that's how they track you. You see, you have to be at least 6 feet apart so that the tracking devices on satellites and maybe drones can separate two people. You have to have at least 6 feet of distance. It had nothing to do with the virus. It had to do with what they're talking about now, tracking. And now, of course, last week we reported that the CDC was doing the same thing and is continuing to do the same thing, that they are in league with some of the big tech companies. So they're actually tracking the people who got the injections, not with the cell phones as here. Look at this next headline. Pfizer documents show over 1,200 people died during the vaccine trials before it was approved for emergency use authorization. They had already killed 1,200 people. Didn't the FDA know? Didn't the FDA care? And of course, last week when we looked at the patents that were applied for the peptides that make up the shot. This was presented by Dr. Karen Kingston. You can look her up, spelled with a K, Karen Kingston. She had the 7 patents, you see? And in the patent applications of these peptides that are found in the injection, the word bioweapon was used, that even the patent office knew that these peptides were bioweapons that were going to be injected into the population, and Pfizer already knew the percentage of people that were going to be killed because they found out they killed 1,200 people in the vaccine trials. It seems like that would be a crime. Next headline says bird flu outbreak nears worst ever in the United States with 37 million animals dead. That's 37 chickens, 37 million chickens, turkeys, ducks, other poultry. It was 27 million last week. You see, so it's spreading. And so, of course, this means famine. Now, the flocks have already been decimated in Europe. That was taking place months ago. And years ago, the same thing was taking place in China. They've already been through all of this. Now it's here in the United States. And so if you're trying to raise chickens, this is what your chickens are faced with, and it's very deadly. But as I mentioned before, you can use the Paxamune, spray it in the chicken's face. It will help them. And now the first human cases were reported out of China. In other words, bird flu that jumped species into human beings. 19 cases in China, and there was the first case in the U.S. We reported that last week. I haven't had any follow-up information since then. But this may be the next big thing. Next image, please. Can you blow this up big enough? This is, now this is taking you on a, this is a history lesson here. This is the origin of the whole thing. So this is going back to 1971, I believe, the date is on this. The Special Virus Cancer Program. This was started under the Nixon administration. The Special Virus Cancer Program has to do with the SV40 virus that contaminates, to this day, the polio injection. SV40 stands for simian virus 40. Simian means monkey, so monkey virus number 40 that contaminates the polio vaccine shots. And it was found out that this SV40 causes cancer. So it's an oncovirus. An oncovirus is a virus that causes cancer. And this simian 40, SV40 virus in the polio shot was the first oncovirus that was known to cause cancer in human beings. This is 1971. And this was called the Special Virus Cancer Program, and out of this research came some years later what later became known as HIV. Next image, please. And what made HIV deadly was it carried the spike protein. Now, this is from the subcommittee of the Committee of Appropriations of the House of Representatives from 1969. This is where Dr. D.M. MacArthur requested $10 million to begin the research that eventuated in the development of HIV. So now if you wanted to say, when did all of this start? This is the starting legislation back in 1969. And then all of this special virus cancer research went underground and disappeared from public view. But it was going on primarily at Fort Detrick, Maryland, and at other sites around the world. If you want to read the details of what happened next, then get Dr. Leonard Horowitz's book called Emerging Viruses by Dr. Leonard Horowitz. He'll give you all the details of what this is all about. Next image, please. Now, we don't have anybody who can call in from Shanghai, but you better keep your eyes on Shanghai. It's locked down. It's been locked down for more than a month. 26 million people can't leave their homes. Many are jumping out of the buildings. We showed videos of people, you know, jumping from tall buildings out of windows. They're so frustrated and so crazy from being locked down. And they're tightening the lockdown. They're not loosening it. They're tightening it. Satellite photographs show that there's hundreds, probably thousands of ships that are off the coast of Shanghai, because this is where all the ships get loaded and sent, and the goods are sent to America and other places, but they're not being loaded up. They're offshore. And so there's very little information about why such draconian measures are said to be necessary in Shanghai and other parts of China. Overall, 400 million people in China are under severe lockdown. And the last reports were of this hemorrhagic fever virus, resurgent COVID-19 virus. These are the official stories, but it must be something else going on. Next image, please. That the targeted individuals as beta tests for intrabody nano network installed through COVID jabs. This is research done by Dr. Eric Karistrom, and this is an interview carried on the Jeff Rentz program just a few days ago. So if you go to Rentz.com, Rentz, R-E-N-S-E.com, you can scroll down and find this interview. And this gives you the details of how the nano network technology is being installed and has been installed in millions of people around the world through these jabs. And then how that gets connected to the Neuralink network that Elon Musk is using his rockets to put all over the world, like a network, like a net, like a dragnet all over the whole world. Next image. So you can find this rents.com, very good site for alternative news. The sky turns red over town near China's Shanghai. So we just mentioned the lockdowns that are taking place, but this is an actual photograph. If you blow it up, the bottom image, can you blow it up? This is an actual photograph of what the sky looks like in China right now. Blood red. So what is going on in China? And of course, a lot of people are reporting red sunsets and whatnot. There's a blood moon, a total lunar eclipse coming this weekend. You know that, right? Another blood moon. So what is going on? So next image, please. Some of these questions we don't have answers to. See, now this was a news story they broke. They don't need Planned Parenthood anymore now that they have the jab, because one of the side effects, so-called, of the jab is sterilization of men and women. And so most women who have gotten the jab find themselves that they've been sterilized. Women who were pregnant when they got the jab, over 90% of them have had stillbirth. And in men, they're experiencing erectile dysfunction, low sperm counts. Essentially, they've been sterilized. And that's because of the chemical similarity of these components of the spike protein and some of the proteins that make up the human reproductive system. And so the immune system attacks it, like it's poison, and this causes infertility. So who needs Planned Parenthood? Maybe don't even need abortion anymore. Next image. So the serpent, the snake of the grafted type, has been poisoning the whole world. And we've laid out the evidence, not just all tonight, but over the 2 years of the Your Immunity Project. I think, we started in May of 2020. Yeah, the first broadcast was May of 2020. And I think it's been nonstop, continuously, since that time. And here we are in May of 2022. And all this time, what we've been dealing with is the serpent who is poisoning the whole world. And it turns out that the bioweapons labs that created a lot of these poisons and bioweapons are found in Ukraine. And that a lot of those bioweapons labs that were being run by the Pentagon and private contractors were also being funded by Hunter Biden, the president's son. And we know that Ukraine has long been a trough of corruption. So Nancy Pelosi's family is all involved. John Kerry's family is all involved. All of the big wigs in Washington, D.C., they're all involved in the corruption in Ukraine. And perhaps they're willing to take the whole world into war to cover up their corruption. Otherwise, maybe the Russians would expose it. The serpent poisoning the entire world. Next image, please. So this was, of course, I sent this out to people on Mother's Day since the last time we were here. A Mother's Day occurred. And so a shout out and well wishes to all the mothers out there because you are really the only reason why we're here. So thank you very much for all that you do. Next image, please. Now, isn't this a headline story going around? The shortage of baby formula. It's a nightmare. Baby formula shortage leaves U.S. parents desperate. See, they were induced to not breastfeed their own children, but they could always rely on industrial synthetic formulas for their children. And then, you know, what is the formula for handling the baby problem? I mean, the age-old formula for handling the baby problem in America. They killed 63 million babies. You see, and that's two parents apiece. Every abortion had two parents that conspired together. So that's 126 million Americans who were responsible for 63 million abortions. So now you think what that means on the scales of justice and how that gets paid. And then the ironic thing about it is one of the ingredients that are in the injections, the COVID-19 injections, is fetal cells from aborted fetuses. So they're feeding it back to you in pharmaceuticals. And even in the flavoring, in like PepsiCo, one of the food companies, they make, you know, Pepsi and all of the rest of these drinks and fast foods. They put fetal cells in their food as a flavoring agent. See, so what did you think they were doing with all of the aborted fetuses? Throwing it away? No, that's valuable meat. Next image, please. So this is the great controversy, but America is the most violent country in the history of the world. They kill babies. They just argue over when it's legal to do so. Some say you can't kill them until they're after 6 weeks, and some say you can kill them when they're 12 weeks. Some say you can kill them even after they're born. And of course, they kill you after you're born, don't they? Yeah, they keep killing you all throughout your life till you're dead. Next image, please.
That was the last one.
Oh, that's the last one, yeah, the baby. So let's open up our lines for calls. We've covered a lot. There's a lot of subjects, a lot of information that we've given out tonight and in previous broadcasts. So why don't we take the time that we have remaining and just see what's on your mind, questions and comments, testimonials, whatever you would like to say. So let's open up our lines.
Yes, sir. Those who are on the Zoom platform, please raise your hand if you have a question, comment, or a testimonial, and I'll be able to acknowledge your hand. If you're on the Facebook Live, please put your questions or comments in the chat. Okay, so no questions so far. I don't know if everyone knows how to raise your hand. Okay, we do have a question. Sister Halima Shabazz. Yes,
go ahead.
As-salamu alaykum, family. This is my first time on the platform here.
You're welcome.
I don't know a lot about this. I want to ask, is the immune system being attacked related to viral illnesses? And could this be a cause of inflammation? And is this related, could this be related to the COVID spike protein?
Well, I think you asked about three different questions there.
And one is yes.
Viruses are infectious agents, and they cause inflammation of all sorts in all types of tissue throughout the body in many different ways. It has been estimated that maybe 70% of all illnesses, chronic illnesses, are actually caused by viruses, underlying inflammation caused by viruses. And sometimes the viruses are known and named, and many times they're what are called stealth viruses. They're hidden, and we don't know what they are. Now, the good thing about it is the body has an excellent defense system to handle viruses. That's why we recover from viral illnesses. Otherwise, we would die every time we caught a virus. Every time you caught a cold, it would have killed you, except that your immune system has the ability to respond to any virus. And that system that it uses, it's a part of the immune system, and it has a subsystem that is called the interferon system. And it's very complicated, but basically it spells out literally in an immune alphabet the name of every virus that comes into the body. And that instructs the other cells in the immune system to take action against that virus that's been identified. And the only time that that system fails is if it cannot properly identify the virus. And that's the problem with the this current technology that's being injected. No normal virus can escape the surveillance of your immune system. But the way they've gotten this thing engineered, the COVID-19 virus is a chimera, which means it's not purely a virus. And it contains, one of the things that it contains is tuberculosis genes. And what makes tuberculosis is a bacteria, it's not even a virus. But what makes tuberculosis so stealthy with the immune system is it has a coating that makes it almost invisible to the immune system. So that characteristic was carried over with COVID-19, making it almost invisible to your immune system. So then it could actually establish itself. And the Salk Institute proved that all the damage that was being done by this virus was because of the spike protein that was on it. Now, to complete the answer to your question, you don't actually need the virus anymore because the injection itself causes the body to produce the spike protein. So you don't need a virus anymore to carry the spike protein into the body. The mRNA injection injects it directly, and then it's self-spreading. So it can spread from one person to another. Even though the second person never got the injection, they can get it from the first person who did. And so all of that causes inflammation. The inflammation caused by the virus was caused by the spike protein on the virus. And now without the virus, the spike protein causes the same inflammation. And this is responsible for what I talked about earlier, this so-called vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency syndrome. which is essentially saying that you have inflammation all over the body. And inflammation contains the word flame, fire. So the body is on fire and being destroyed on every level. So thank you for that question. And let me welcome you again to the Your Immunity Project. We're here every Tuesday. And so tune in every week. And as time goes on, you'll get a deeper and broader understanding of a very complicated situation. It's very complicated. Thank you.
Okay, Dr. Lane, a favorite question here is that wonder if the jab is causing this unusual and violent behavior.
Okay, you're breaking up a little bit. I missed the first part of what you said.
It said wonder if the jab is causing this unusual and violent behavior.
Oh, okay, yes. Okay, so the question is, they're wondering if the jab can cause unusual behavior and violent behavior. And the answer to that is emphatically yes. Yes. Now, think about it now. It could be a change in behavior because of inflammation. See, the other caller, she asked about inflammation. And part of my answer was that this COVID-19 virus is a chimera, which means it's made up of different components. It's not just one thing. And along with the TB gene that makes up the COVID-19, they've also taken the genes from the rabies virus. Rabies, yes, mad dog disease. That's also in the COVID-19 chimeric virus. And let me ask you a question. Does rabies change a person's behavior? You better believe it, because it causes inflammation in the brain. And the brain controls behavior. Now, there's another part of this. In fact, I think there's about three major parts to that question and the impact of the injection on behavior. So that's the first part. Now, what about the other part where the behavior of a person is being controlled remotely? It's not just that the injection or the infection is about viruses. No, there's electronic nanotechnology, graphene oxide, and other components that self-assemble within a person's body. And these nanotechnology neural networks receive and emit electronic signals. And so therefore, a person could be remotely controlled. Their behavior could be remotely controlled from some other source. So in other words, you might see somebody doing something like what they call smash and grab. A normal person all of a sudden smashing and grabbing. What caused that? Somebody pulled the switch and gave a signal to the electronics that had been installed through the injection. And then the third aspect of this, maybe it's the fourth one too, they're talking about accidents, that somehow people have bizarre driving habits, driving too fast, driving recklessly. They're having accidents, even airline pilots having accidents. Vaccine-related accidents, where their coordination is off or their judgment is off, is really mysterious. But there's a dramatic increase in accidents among people who have been vaccinated. And then the fourth one, of course, we've touched on many times, is the 5G connection. That many people say that the whole thing is being controlled by the 5G network. So, yes, without a doubt, the injections are probably designed to cause dramatic changes in behavior. And maybe that's why the CDC, I don't know if it's still on their website, but you can go check. Go look up the CDC zombie apocalypse, the zombie apocalypse on the CDC website. They talk all about how they're going to change the behavior of people, and they'll be like the zombie movies. And it's on their website. I didn't make this up. Truth is stranger than fiction. So yes, the injections do change behavior. And people notice that among their friends and associates. They're not the same. Next question, please.
Yes, sir. I bear witness to those crashes. I see some bad ones every day, all day long.
Yeah.
I'm out and you just hear major crashes everywhere, running into walls and everything by themselves and everything. Bad. Yes, sir.
Oh, it was bad before, now it's worse.
Exactly.
Sister Najma, why don't I have to step away and do something for my mother.
Yes,
I'll be
sir.
Right back. Maybe
yes,
you
sir.
Could give the announcements now, and then
yes,
I'll be
sir.
Back in about 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. So for everyone, if you have any questions or anything in reference to orders, you can email us at mail@draline.com, and mail is spelled out. Everything looks pretty good as far as I can see. We haven't really had a lot of emails. A lot of the orders are corrected. If you wanted to order the individual Paxidium bottles or cases or quads, you can go to www.draline.com. And again, doctor is spelled out, DocTorAlim.com. And you can order your individual bottles, cases, and also quads. So praise be to Allah. So Dr. Aline had to step away. So thank everyone for being with us this evening and you know, being able to get this good information so he can keep us abreast of what's going on. I mean, it really is interesting times that we're living in. So we definitely have to stay woke, like they say. So praise be to Allah. And I'm not sure if everyone knows how to raise their hand, but you should be able to access it from the bottom or from your menu power.
Okay, I'm back.
Yes, sir. We lost one sister. I'm not sure if you fell off or not, but just raise your hand again and I'll acknowledge you. We have Brother Ron D.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, Dr. Aline, and thank you for allowing me to join peace and blessings to everybody. But my question is, I've been looking for the Watch the Water video. And it's been completely removed. I just pulled up on it and tried to get it, and it won't load. And I also went to try to watch the trailer on YouTube, and it has been removed. Is there any place that you might know of that we can go and watch that video? Apparently, it's got some stuff in it that they absolutely don't want us to see.
Oh, yes. You can go to Dr. Aline on Telegram. And I have it loaded there. I don't think they've taken it down since last week. But I loaded it there. And then it should be available on sites like Rumble and BitChute and other places. But YouTube and the mainstream platform, they're not going to run that. No. That's much too dangerous.
Yes.
So, yeah, you should be able to find it at Dr. Aline on Telegram. Spell the word doctor all the way out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so very much. And appreciate everything that you're doing and all the information that you're giving to us is very valuable. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We have a question.
Okay,
go ahead.
You want me to go?
Yes,
okay,
go
Dr. Lane. Another question from Facebook. It said, how can you tell through pictures about potential peptides in people?
Oh, they're asking me to reveal my trade secrets? That's what they want to do. Well, that's what that would be. People who come to see me or who used to come to see me in my office, they were often amazed at the techniques that I used in diagnosis. And the techniques that I call autonomic response testing were never unique to me. I learned it from people who taught it to me, and they learned it from people. And a lady from China, Dr. Effie Chow in San Francisco, she told me, hell, doctor, that's nothing new. We've been doing that in China for thousands of years. And then somebody else told me that the ancient Egyptians were doing this kind of medical technique thousands and thousands of years ago. So really, what has been rediscovered is the ancient diagnostic technique that does away with x-rays and blood tests and all this rigmarole that they call allopathic medicine. And it just goes to direct perception. So now the reality of it is it's just a matter of communication. The usual technique in the office is I would put my hands on a person and the communication is direct from my hands to whatever part of the body that I'm interested in. And then the information would flow directly out of that direct contact. However, communication doesn't require direct contact. We're talking to one another right now without direct physical contact. How is it that I can talk to you and you can talk to me? How is it I can see you and you can see me? Unless there is actually a connection. And the information that flows through that connection electronically is the same information that flows if I actually put my hands on a person. So essentially, it's the same technique. It's just applied electronically. And it's all about energy. And that's all it ever is all about. We just have the illusion that we're physical beings. We have the illusion that we live in a physical world. But even the physical objects that we perceive, when you really get down to it, they're not physical at all. It's all energy. And so that's the technique. It's just an energy-based technique. And what we found out is that the energy signature is preserved even when it's transmitted electronically. This is the same thing that Dr. Luc Montagnier demonstrated in his laboratory. This is what Dr. Rick Bright was talking about when he said that we can beam a virus into someone's home or into a laboratory at a great distance. It is all about energy. And so when you learn how to work with the energy, then there's many things that you can do. What is it that energy can't do? And so that's all it is. It's just learning how to manipulate the energy to get the information that is encoded in the energy. And so that's how it's done. So I told you all about it without revealing the actual technique. I have to write that up. That needs to be written up. A lot of people don't know how to do that.
Yes, sir. We have a question from Ron Hurley. He asked the question, can the spike protein be released into the air even if you're wearing a mask when breathing normally? Release like coughing from people who like working in hospitals and medical offices?
Absolutely, yes. The spike protein can be inhaled. So people who have been injected and whose bodies are producing the spike protein, think about it. Your lung cells, for people who got the injection, your lung cells, the cells that line your throat, your mouth, all those cells are producing the spike protein. Your skin cells, not just the cells that are internal in the body. So the body cells that make up your lips, so you kiss somebody. The cells that make up your tongue, your gums, the mucosal lining of your nose and throat, the lining of your lungs, the bronchioles, the alveoli. All of those cells are producing the spike protein. So yes, every breath, every cough, every sneeze, you're putting spike protein out into the atmosphere if you are the injected person. And you are infecting the whole environment. You're contaminating the whole environment around you. Now, if you're the uninjected person on the receiving end, then yes, every breath you inhale, you're inhaling that person's spike protein that they just coughed out or breathed out. And so, yeah, the answer to your question is absolutely. That's and now, some part of your question has to do with a mask. A mask is not going to help you against the spike protein. A mask hardly helps you against the virus. When we say mask, when I use the term mask, I'm talking about an N95 surgical mask. I'm talking about a high-tech mask worn correctly. It is only 95% effective in preventing contagion from viruses. A cloth mask is useless for anything. But now we're not talking about bacteria that are pretty big compared to viruses. No, we're talking about the spike protein that sits on the back of a virus. So it's much smaller than the virus itself. So if an N95 mask can hardly protect you from viral contamination, it will absolutely do nothing to protect you from the spike protein. Now, an injected person who wears a mask, all you're actually doing is recirculating back into your own body the spike protein that you're producing. So it would tend to accelerate the ill effects of the spike protein in your body. So yes, without a doubt, the nature of the spike protein technology that we've been talking about for the last 2 years, it's a self-spreading vaccine technology. That's why they're opening up the society. That's why they don't mind if you become a sex worker out in the public. Because this is now the phase where the self-spreading nature of the vaccine takes over. They don't have to force you to roll up your arm. They're going to still put the pressure on you, don't get me wrong. But the self-spreading nature of the vaccine itself begins to take over. And you're going to get contaminated from coworkers, family members, friends, visitors, fellow travelers. They want you at the ballpark now. They want you at Disneyland, the amusement parks. They want you on the train. They want you on the bus. They want you on the plane. They want you at the resort. They want you on the cruise ship. They want you back in church. They want you back in the mosque. They want you to have family reunions now because the vaccinated ones are going to spread the contamination to the unvaccinated ones until the job is complete. I think people, for the most part, with all due respect, are looking at this thing in a very myopic way. Myopia is the medical term for nearsightedness. I'm a nearsighted person. Without my contacts on or glasses, I can't see far. I can see near, but I can't see far. And I think that's the way most people are. They're nearsighted. They're looking at this thing nearsightedly. They're not taking the far view. They don't see the implications of what's been taking place. They're just taking a myopic view. And so we try to get you out of that Mr. Magoo complex so that you can actually see the broader view of things, because the attack is not coming necessarily from close in, a direct assault on your body with a needle. No, it could be your loving companion right next to you that's just going to breathe on you, and the attack has been carried out. So thank you for that question. Do we have any more?
Yes. Another Facebook question. It says, do you think the people who died at the Scandal Hotel got an evolved COVID virus?
The people who died in the Bahamas? Is that what that?
At the Scandal Hotel.
I think it's a scandal. It's not a scandal. But it might be a scandal. I don't have any information. I don't have any information about that. For those who haven't heard, apparently, what was it? 3 or 4 people at the Sandals Resort in the Bahamas got sick over a day or two and then ended up dead. And there's an investigation going on. Maybe it was Legionnaire's disease from the air conditioner, or maybe it was some chemical toxin in the room. Nobody seems to know what happened. But again, the other issue is that is not being reported is what was the vaccine status of these people who died? People who have gotten the jab and then who get on planes are at a tremendous risk of sudden death from a pulmonary embolism or something of that nature. So they don't report the vaccine status of these sudden unexplained deaths. But I bet if you looked into it, you would probably find out all of those people who died got the jab. Now, looking ahead into the vacation season, that is what you're going to see. Just as you have seen in other parts of the world because of seasonal differences. They were playing soccer in different parts of the world, and all of the major soccer stars and tennis stars have been dropping dead or have become disqualified for disability. Now we're coming into the sports season here in North America, baseball and all the rest of it, golf and the rest of it, tennis. And you're going to see more and more of these things, people dropping dead on vacations, cruise ships, catastrophes. Catastrophes on passenger planes, all kinds of things, because we're now in the season of death. Remember, the 5% degradation of the human immune system that's taking place in, say, 100 million Americans, at least. Well, that means 100 million Americans are entering into the advanced stages of AIDS. That spells catastrophe for millions of people. And even if it's not you, it's somebody that you know. It's somebody that you work with. It's somebody in your family. It's somebody in your neighborhood. It's somebody that used to drive the truck. It's somebody that used to be in the warehouse. It's somebody that used to be in the clinic or the hospital. It's somebody that you didn't even know, but you used to depend on because they were a part of the supply chain. And now they're not there anymore, either through death or increasing disability. Yeah, this is a dismal scene that we're looking at. Is Brother Carlito on the line?
He was. I think he had to take a conference call.
Okay. Because we want everybody to tune in tomorrow night for the 19th Element on Calphony Radio. Because what we're finding out, I mean, all of these questions are very good questions, and they're focused on the spike protein, the virus, inflammation, and all these kinds of things. And that's spot on. But what you have to really understand is that the threat has broadened. It's broadened. It's more than just a health threat. Now what is being threatened is your very livelihood, your ability to put food on the table, your ability to stay warm, your ability to have light and electricity is being threatened. War is on the horizon. The insane people who are behind NATO and American foreign policy are driving the world towards nuclear holocaust. Remember, this is a part of a depopulation agenda. So what better way to depopulate the world than to have a nuclear war with nuclear fallout, along with famine, along with pestilence, along with all the rest of it that we've been talking about, along with poverty, along with economic depression and collapse. You see, so we can't talk about all those things on the Your Immunity Project, but all of those things have an impact on your health. So by extension, we have to remain on our health base, but we have to be able to extend into the realm of wealth, because it is through wealth that we will be able to acquire all of the necessities of life, food, clothing, and shelter, so that we can remain here. The only threat that we were talking about 2 years ago was a virus. That's not the only threat that we have to talk about today. We have to talk about all of these other things. So let's take a few more calls, and I'll stay on as long as I can. But the 19th element is where we can go a little bit broader into some of these other areas, and how you can acquire wealth at the same time as you're protecting your health.
Yes, sir. We have Brother Craig.
Go ahead. Walaikum
salam. Yes, sir. Dr. Liam, I was trying to just call in, I guess, to probably bring a little bright light to a testimony.
Yes, please.
yes, sir. Well, make a long story short, I have a friend that went to college with down in Tennessee. His name is Milton. He's from Chicago. And I guess you could say 3 months ago, he told me that he was dealing with about a prostate cancer.
Whoa.
Well, I recently, yes, sir. So when I found out, I did have some Paxium that I sent to him, 2 bottles actually, sent to him right away. And just recently, we talked for like about a good hour on the phone, and he reported to me that his PSA numbers are now down to a level where his doctors are assessed at, and really kind of shocked that they are down at the level where, you know, he's feeling a lot better. He has a lot more energy. The cancer that was hampering his life is no longer causing any ill effect. So
wow.
And I asked him. I asked straight honestly. I said, "Hey, Brother Milton, I said, I want to ask you something." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Do you think it's the Paxium that's helping you out?" He said, "What else could it be?"
Yeah, what else could it be?
So yeah. I just want to share that story or testimony, and hopefully, shed some light on that situation.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And I'm glad you called in with some good news in the midst of this doom and gloom. You see, but we do have some victories.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Now, let me comment on that case of prostate cancer. Earlier in the broadcast tonight, I spent a few minutes talking about the appropriations for the special virus cancer program 1971, that they were using the SV40 virus, which I described as an oncovirus, a virus that causes human cancer. And it was a contaminant, or is a contaminant to this very day, in the polio shot. So now your friend, along with everybody else in his generation, got that polio shot when they were children, or sometimes it was given orally. It didn't have to be a shot. Sometimes they put it on a sugar cube. But that polio vaccine contained the SV40 oncovirus. Now, it's not just an oncovirus. It's a lentivirus. It's a lente oncovirus. Now, what does lente mean? Lente means long acting. So it causes cancer, but not right away. You have to wait 30 years. You have to wait 40 years, maybe 50 years. And in men, the SV40 virus causes prostate cancer, a very highly virulent, malignant form of prostate cancer. In women, the SV40 virus that's in the polio shot causes breast cancer. So your friend, if it ever came to this, if they decided they needed to do a biopsy, for example, and they examine it with the right staining, what they would find in the middle of that cancer tumor would be SV40 viruses. Same with a woman with breast cancer these days. It's not the old-fashioned breast cancer that your grandmother rarely ever got. But it's this new-fashioned breast cancer that's caused by SV40. And if you looked in the tumor in breast cancer cases, that's what you would find. You would find that SV40 virus that was administered as a polio vaccine. The woman is now in her 50s or 60s, and she got that when she was 5 years old or 6 years old. And 40 or 50 years went by, and now she has highly malignant breast cancer, or if it's a male, highly malignant prostate cancer. And this is an all too common clinical outcome that we see increasingly across the population. The final note is, because of this vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency, this already terrible problem is likely to get worse. And we're already seeing pathologists across the country, across the world, in fact, reporting thousands percent increase in all kinds of cancers in vaccinated people. Because remember, your immune system is fighting cancer every single day. There's a cancer outbreak in everybody's body every day. Some cell goes bad in your body every day, at least one. And if your immune system wasn't there to take that bad cell out, it would divide and develop into a tumor and kill you. So your immune system takes care of that until it can't. And it can't because of the spike protein that's in the jab. And once that happens, then these cells turn cancerous and there's nobody there to stop them. Just like on the city streets now. Criminals are on the loose doing whatever they want to do, and they defunded the police. There's nobody there to stop them. So thank you for that call-in. But yeah, that's a firm connection between the SB40 virus and prostate cancer in men and breast cancer in women. And the Paxlovid helps because it handles that virus. It helps your immune system to handle that virus that's at the root of the problem in the first place. Thank you.
Sister Connie, you have another Facebook question? Okay, question. Could you please comment on the COVID medicine called Paxlovid, P-A-X-L-O-V-I-D?
Paxlovid? I don't know that much about it. I'm not that kind of doctor. I think they're actually trying to copy our name. You know, we have Paxlovid, which has a very good golden reputation for effectiveness in the treatment of all kinds of things that we just heard from our last caller. So Pax means peace. And so we bring peace and tranquility to the body by fortifying the immune system. Now here they come with something called Paxlovid, which is some diabolical concoction. I might be wrong on this. Somebody correct me, because I didn't really look into it. But some weeks ago, we did an expose on remdesivir. And of course, remdesivir is a concoction of these snake venom peptides. And that's what kills people in the hospitals. And there was talk of a development of an oral form of remdesivir. So somebody correct me if I'm wrong, if this Paxlovid is not, in fact, the oral form of remdesivir. And if it is, or even if it's not, you can believe it's some kind of toxic formulation that you should just stay away from. Let me tell you something that I was told to me as a medical student. When I was a third-year medical student, and I was in my mentor's part of our training, you know, you have a mentor, and you hang out with him in his practice. And one of the things that my mentor told me one time, I came in all excited. Oh, this new medication just hit the market. What do you think about it? He said, calm down, young man, calm down. He said, if I were you, anytime a new medication comes out, he said, if I were you, I would wait about 7 years before I would introduce it into my practice. He said, give it about 7 years. Let other people try it out first. After about 7 years, you can take another look at it and see if it even has anything worthwhile to offer. Because most of these things are just fads and trends, hyped up advertisements on television, in the media. And so that's my advice to anybody that gets excited over these announcements of some new drug breakthrough. Don't believe the hype. And when did drugs ever help anybody anyhow? When did anything that they ever offered to you, when did any of it ever help anybody? I don't think you can name a single instance where anything that they ever talked about that they said you should take actually helped you or anybody that you know. So I think by now we should have learned our lesson that we should stop listening to people who like to tell us lies to our detriment. So that's the real reason why I don't know that much about that drug, because I really don't waste my time reading false information. But thanks for the question. And check me out on that. I don't know if that is the oral form of remdesivir, but if it is, you better watch out. Let's take one or two more, and then I think that will be it. These are good questions.
Sister Connie, I don't know if you're stuck or not. I think she may be stuck on mute. Okay. But the next question is, they understand that Paxamune helps with viruses. Their concern is with the aluminum along with other metals that are in the chemtrails that they're spraying nonstop in New York City. Is Paxamune also a heavy metal detox?
No, it's not. Again, see, these are all separate problems. They're separate problems. Now, the question included something about chemtrails in New York. Well, the chemtrails in New York are not necessarily the chemtrails in California or the chemtrails in Washington, D.C. or the chemtrails in Atlanta or the chemtrails in Florida on any given day. Chemtrails are mixtures of chemicals, heavy metals. I've told the story on the Your Immunity Project call a few times. About a year ago, a little more than a year ago, I took a nap outside, woke up under some chemtrails and got sick and almost died, literally almost died. Not making up a story. I'm saying I wouldn't be here had I not made a diagnosis in time to save myself. Because what were in those chemtrails over my head? It turned out they were full of fungus. White mold, black mold, yellow mold. Every mold that I could test for was coming down out of the sky. And I inhaled those fungal spores into my lungs and it made me sick as a dog. And I almost died. So when you're looking at chemtrails, you don't know what you're looking at. Sure, most of them do have aluminum and barium and other elements, but it could be all kinds of things, and it has been detected that all kinds of things are put into those chemtrails. So how do you protect yourself against it? Number one, and this is just self-discipline. If I look outside and I see the sky full of chemtrails, I do not go outside. Period. Because they're poisoning the atmosphere. Why would I walk out into poison and deliberately poison myself and then wonder what to do about it? What you should have done about it was to avoid it. Remember, the first principle is prevention. Well, the way to prevent being contaminated by chemtrails is don't go outside when they have chemtrails. So now that might raise other problems. You say, well, I have to go to work. Well, why do you have to go to work? You see, now this gets into the wealth and self-preservation issue. They're poisoning the atmosphere where you used to make a living. You can't go there anymore. Not if you want to live. Now, some people would rather die than make a change in their lifestyle. And they are dying because they won't make a change in their lifestyle. There was a book I read some years ago, very good little book that you should look for. It was called something like Somebody Move My Cheese, a little fairy tale type book, but full of wisdom. And it basically says, gives you a strategy of how to handle change that takes place. You used to make a living like that, but now you got to go over here and do it a different way. Otherwise, you'll perish. You'll perish. And that's where we are now. Actually, people know enough about the viruses. People know enough about the Paxamune. People know enough about this, that, and the other. They know enough about the spike protein. They know all about it. We've gone through it thoroughly. But what you need to know is how to continue to live, knowing what you know and applying what you know and not falling victim to what everybody else is falling victim to, despite what you know. Isn't that something? People of knowledge falling dead just like they didn't know anything. That's because they didn't apply what they know. And so, again, tomorrow night, the 19th element, we're going to get into some of those survival issues beyond just health issues, beyond just the virus, beyond just the spike protein. What are the economic issues, the social issues, the psychological issues that are involved, that are a part of the requirement for survival to make it, let's just say, what's the framework? What's the time framework? We're talking about what it would take for you and I to survive from 2022, let's say, onto the far side of 2025. We're talking about basically 3 years. Okay, over the next 3 years, what are you and I going to do that are going to keep us alive, that will be here, even if hundreds of millions, even billions of other people succumb to the depopulation agenda? What are you and I going to do so that we will be here to talk about it? See, that's what this is all about, the long view, not the myopic view. See, the myopic view is how can I get a vaccine exemption form? See, that's the myopic view. The myopic view is, oh, how many squirts of the Paxlovid do I need to take so I can go to work? See, that's the myopic view. No, the long view is, no, how am I going to stay alive between now and 2025, which is the expected duration of this time of trouble? So that's the long view. The short view just won't cut it. Let's take one more question, and then I think we'll call it a night.
Yes, sir. That was the last one that I saw here. There was one on Facebook Live. I'm not sure what happened to Sister Connie. She did have a question.
Okay. All right. Well, if that's it, then that's it. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in one more time. You know, the Quran says, if it had been a near win and an easy victory, they all would have been with you. But it's not like that, is it? No. This is the long haul. This is the marathon. You see, this is the uphill battle. And what are we battling for? We're battling for the right to survive in the hereafter. It's not an easy victory. No, it's hard. And it's long fought. The Bible says it like this, that the race is not to the swift nor the strong, but to those who endure to the end. And so that's what the Your Immunity Project is all about, enduring to the end of this, whatever this is, whatever you want to call it. Our goal is to be here at the end of it. So thank you once again for tuning in. We'll be here next week, inshallah, same time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call on Kalfani Radio. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Wa alaykum salam.
All praises are due to Allah. That was our Dr. Aleem giving us much needed information in this time of trouble which we're now living in. So all praises are due to Allah for